Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Criminal Assets Bureau has confirmed they are actively seeking to identify and seize proceeds of crime in Donegal. Meanwhile, Gardaí in the county are warning of increased patrols on the roads in the coming weeks, with three arrests over the weekend for drink driving. A Donegal woman has sued a couple who were formerly her best friends, claiming a sum of €280,000 given to them was a loan rather than a gift. And there are fears Brexit could cost Irish tourism up to €400 million. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Integration Minister David Stanton says there won't be any public consultation meeting on the designation of the Cashel Mara Hotel in Moville as a direct provision centre. Up to 100 asylum seekers are set to begin arriving at the centre in the coming weeks, but Minister Stanton says previous public meetings in other areas didn't add anything to the equation. News of the decision broke late last Friday evening, with complaints from local representatives that they weren't aware of the proposal and were taken by surprise when the announcement was made. Councillor Martin Farron is based in the area.
I'd like to know if the Department of Justice, if they actually got in touch with the, for example, the local authority, which I felt that they should have been their first port of call. And if that was the case, then I would have felt that the local authority should have got in touch with myself as a local public representative. And of course, let the general public know what was actually going to happen here. Another 7% of the population. And you know, that's quite a significant number of people.
Speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show today, Minister Stanton said a local Friends of the Centre committee will be formed to support those who come to Moville, and that group will be the focus of support. On the announcement of the decision, he said that could not happen until the contract was finalised.
That was when the actual contract was finally decided with the contractor, and until the contract was finally decided, it wasn't possible to go public on this. And as soon as it was known, then people were informed immediately. It was the earliest possible time.
And what interaction has there been with the local authority to date?
RIA, the Reception Integration Agency, have written to Mr. Neely, the Chief Executive Officer, on the 7th of November, informing him of the proposal and the plan.
Is that just a courtesy letter, or does the council have a role, a local authority have a role in something like this?
Oh yes, this is a multi-agency operation. The local authority very much has a role here, advising regarding planning and safety issues, for instance, and also in accommodating migrants at a later stage.
When do you expect people to start arriving?
Within the next 2 weeks, I'd say.
And will there be any public information meetings ahead of that, like a delegation from your department or from the integration group?
We normally work through, first of all, the public representatives who are elected to represent the people. And then when the Friends are established, the Friends then become the avenue of...
So in advance, there's not going to be town hall meeting or no information?
No, they happened in the past, and they didn't add anything to the process.
Okay.
If people have concerns, if they contact the local council or if they have questions. But in the main, what I find is when these centres open up, people find, you know what, these people need our support and our help. We want to help them. And it's a vast majority of Irish people. And I know people in Donegal are extremely helpful and supportive, because that's the report I got when I was up there just last week.
Meanwhile, Innis Shone Together is urging the Moville community to welcome the 100 asylum seekers. Their spokesperson Siobhan Shields says it's regrettable that those set to arrive are coming under direct provision.
We find, and it's been found around the country, that direct provision infantilises people. Not being able to cook for your own family or just have your own private home to share just with your family and not with other strangers that you have been moved in with. We find that direct provision has an awful impact on people's mental health, and the inability for the right to work really does just dehumanise people. So,
the Criminal Assets Bureau has confirmed they are actively seeking to identify and seize proceeds of crime in Donegal. A briefing between representatives of the Garda Organised Crime Unit and the Donegal Joint Policing Committee was postponed today due to work commitments, with hope that the meeting will take place in the near future. It follows a briefing last month from CAB, at which senior officers confirmed they are pursuing a number of lines of inquiry in the county, including possible links with major crime gangs in Dublin. JPC Chair is confident Councillor Jerry McMonagall.
At our last meeting, the cab representatives come to Donegal at the request of the GPC, and they've done a presentation outlining the work that they're involved in. They gave us an opportunity then to ask questions in relation to Donegal, and without going into operational reasons, they couldn't talk about Pacific, but that they are covering the whole state, and they're working with other agencies to identify those who are getting money from illegal means.
We understand that there are further discussions between CAB and the Donegal JPC planned for the next couple of weeks and months.
Yeah, we were to get a presentation today actually at our JPC meeting from organised crime, which would take in the work of CAB. Unfortunately, due to other work, the Gardaí weren't able to attend today, but they will be here in the future. So it's work ongoing, and they have a wide range of investigations going on, and they're working with all our multiple agencies.
Were any indications given of the scope of the investigations or inquiries in Donegal? We know, for instance, there have been claims of links involving Donegal and some of the crime gangs in Dublin. Is that a factor in what CAB are doing?
Yeah, they say they're looking at all aspects of criminality where they can identify connections between Dublin gangs and those in rural areas. They will be following them up closely. So they're investigating criminality throughout the state, and no matter where it is, they stated on the day that they will be following the money.
The sooner a Brexit deal is done, the better. That's the view of Taoiseach Simon Coveney, who was speaking in Brussels after meeting EU foreign ministers. Mr. Coveney also spoke with the EU's chief negotiator, Michel Barnier. He says talks are still ongoing on a withdrawal agreement.
The support and solidarity for that work, as I said, is very, very strong. So we'll have to wait and see where that goes. But the issues aren't new. There is still clearly work to do between the two negotiating teams, and I think we need to give them the time and space now to finish that job. The sooner that can be done, I think the better for everybody.
Meanwhile, there are fears Brexit could cost Irish tourism up to €400 million. Vulture Ireland is launching its plans for 2019 with more focus on business tourism, promoting Ireland as a food island and extending festivals. It says the biggest challenges facing tourism are the increases in VAT and the risk of a hard Brexit. 260,000 people are working in the tourism sector, an increase of 20,000 on last year. Paul Kelly, CEO of Vulture Ireland, says their time is being spent getting businesses Brexit ready.
Well, the biggest area of spend is our comprehensive Brexit response programme, where we have a range of support services to help industry both retain their GB and Northern Ireland business and also to help them diversify their business to get business from other markets such as mainland Europe, North America, China and other markets.
Gardaí and Donegal are warning of increased patrols on the roads in the coming weeks, with three arrests over the weekend for drink driving. On today's 9 till noon show, Inspector Michael Harrison said a worrying development is the fact that there were 37 arrests for drink driving in October compared to 36 the previous year. He also said there was a number of arrests for drug driving.
Last month we had 5 people arrested for drug driving for proven positive for the oral fluid test. Also, as well as now, what's happening as a result of the change in legislation, if you're involved in a serious and a road traffic collision involving an injury, you will be tested, and that sample may also be tested for drugs. And I've seen one or two files on my table in the last few months where drivers who have been involved in road traffic collisions and their blood has been tested for drugs, they have come back positive for drugs. In one case, one guy came back he was over the limit for 3 drugs that we test for. That's cannabis, cocaine and morphine. He was over for those 3 drugs that we test for. And that is worrying. We will be testing you. And that he was involved in a collision in the morning time before 11 a.m.
A Donegal woman has sued a couple who were formerly her best friends, claiming a sum of €280,000 given to them was a loan rather than a gift. The High Court has heard that 59-year-old Fidel McCarrigan of Benildis Avenue, Ballyshannon, received €750,000 in 2010 over serious personal injury she suffered in a road crash in 2002 in which her father died. It's believed that 2 weeks after securing the money, she gave €280,000 of that to John and Jacqueline Keenahan of Rathmore, Ballyshannon. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Ms Carrigan claims the money was given to the defendants to help them set up a counselling business or until Mr Keenahan, an architect, had completed the projects. The court heard the couple have since had their business set up but have not repaid Ms Carrigan, who is now on social welfare payments and claims it was agreed at all times the money was a short-term loan. According to The Independent, the defendants say the money was a gift and deny exercising undue influence over Ms Carrigan. The case opened this week before Ms Justice Deirdre Murphy, who said it was never too late to consider an agreed rather than imposed outcome. A consultant psychiatrist, Dr. Mary Maguire, said Ms Carrigan had said Ms Keenahan kept asking her about her personal injury claim and allegedly kept telling her the Keenahan family were going to lose their home and could not afford to eat. The doctor believed Ms Carrigan had so many problems mentally and physically at the time she would be susceptible to emotional distress she perceived in another person.
Donegal County Council is being urged to investigate a flooding issue in Remelton. It's understood that during periods of heavy rain, water is coming through the tarmac in the Bridge End area, either due to an underground spring or a blocked drain and running down to the main road. The issue is said to have led to the road being severely damaged. Councillor Adrian Glacken says not only that, but in periods of cold weather, the overflow is turning to black ice, which is providing a potential hazard for pedestrians and motorists. He says the council must take urgent action.
As in periods of heavy rain, there's water seeping through the tarmac outside some of the houses closest to the main road there. The residents aren't sure if this is due to a blocked drain or an unidentified spring in the area. Originally, the concerns were mainly superficial with regard to the damage to the tarmac, but in the recent cold snap, the water which had run down towards the main road was forming black ice and presenting a hazard to pedestrians and motorists alike. So it's just a case that that they're concerned now, maybe in a proactive way before something does happen, but apparently it was very dangerous and very slippery there in the recent cold snap.
And especially with more bad weather potentially over the winter months, it's important the local authority look at this and indeed address it sooner rather than later.
That's exactly it. I'm hoping that the council will investigate the root cause of this issue and when it's identified, take the necessary precautions to ensure that the problem is eradicated before it becomes dangerous and the no doubt forthcoming cold spells throughout the winter that'll be in place. And I think that's the main concern of the residents as well. Like, you know, there's elderly people living in the Bridge End area that are walking down towards you know, the shops and stuff in Remelton there, and they're very concerned of that as well.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Track your daily fitness with a Fitbit or Garmin tracker from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with a soccer, and Declan Devine is set to return as Derry City manager. A press conference has been called for this evening, which will get underway shortly after 6 o'clock, where the official announcement is expected to be made. The Derry native's no stranger to the club, having managed them between 2012 and 2013, where he won the FAI Cup and also clinched a spot in Europe in 2012. Joining us now on the line, en route to the press conference, is Derry journalist Kevin McLaughlin. Kevin, there's no big secret now that Declan Devine's going to be unveiled as Derry City manager. And I suppose given the level he's been working at and coaching, particularly over the last number of years with the club NI scheme, this would be a good appointment for Derry.
Well, surely, Oisin. It's a case of Derry after they lost the Smiths-Kenny Shield. It was a case of trying to batten down the hatches and getting a manager in quickly. They were always emphasising to be local, and Dick, he's been here, done that, and as you say, he knows the club NI with young players coming through in Derry. Over the years, I've seen the amount of players that have gone on to bigger and better things across channel at their national level. They've all come through the youth setup at Derry City, so bringing in a manager of Dick and Devine's capabilities is probably will be a great appointment.
Yeah, and I suppose given the fact that he's been at the Brandywell before, he was assistant manager and then he was in then as manager between 2012 and 2013. And despite changes around the club, particularly with the stadium, aside of all that, he knows what fits with Derry, and is Declan seen as the right fit himself for Derry?
I would say so. Look, I'm well with fans. You know, last season a lot of fans were fairly annoyed and disillusioned with the probably right way, where Derry City, as you say, back on the new brand, it was great. There was a great buzz there, but then it just faded away, and there was quite a few non-Derry players on the side. And they'd be putting it bluntly, didn't seem as if they cared enough. And you need to get people that anything, doesn't matter if it's Derry City, Finn Harps or Barcelona, you have to care if you want to do it. And that's what Declan Devine will bring. He knows what type of players that first and foremost will give their all for Derry City and then try and bring the success.
Yeah, just finally then, Kevin, what's going to be the main target for Declan Devine as Derry City manager, do you think?
Building a squad, to be brutally honest with you. You know, he's quite a few players on a contract, the likes of Aaron McAnuff, Darren Cole, Jamie McDonough. Obviously a native of Remelton too, who's leaving Cork City, but it looks like Barry McNamee could be a target. It's first and foremost build a squad, and then come January and pre-season starts, then I think Declan will possibly set targets then.
Okay, Kevin McLaughlin, thanks for joining us live this evening on our Sports Ball as he heads towards Derry City and, of course, that press conference where Declan Devine will be officially unveiled as the new Derry City boss. Well, elsewhere in soccer, Donegal players Barry McNamee and Johnny Dunleavy could be set for moves closer to home after Cork City manager John Caulfield confirmed that both players are leaving Turner's Cross. Remelton man McNamee, as you heard Kevin allude to there, left the Brandywell at the end of last season to join the then double league and cup winners. And with Devine set to be unveiled as the new Derry boss, a return to the Brandywell could suit McNamee. Ballybuffet native Dunleavy joined Cork in 2012, but has had injury problems since he located on Lee side. Dunleavy captained Cork, but in the last couple of seasons has been battling persistent knee injuries. Speaking of Cork's Red FM, John Caulfield wished Johnny well with his next move.
I made Johnny the captain when I first took over, and because he had so much leadership qualities and that. But unfortunately, he's had a hard time with injuries, and that's the difficulty in professional sport when you get injuries. You know, it's soul destroying, but particularly for Johnny, because I suppose he's been the captain and he's missed the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Walking up the steps, you know, as a togged out player. So this season was, you know, difficult because, you know, obviously everyone knows he was after his second cruciate. We gave him a contract at the start of the year, hoping he'd come back into the season. And, you know, he came in for a brief patch there at the end of July, start of August, played a couple of the cup games, and unfortunately got injured against Sligo. So it just never really happened. So, you know, he's going to move on, and I'm not sure, but obviously he's hoping to get a contract, and we wish Johnny well because he's a very good guy.
Cork City manager John Caulfield. An application to have Limerick FC wound up has been struck out in the High Court. Revenue had sought to have the Munster Football Club limited the training name of Limerick FC wound up over alleged unpaid taxes. But barrister for Revenue's Collector General told Justice Murray O'Regan that the matter had been resolved. Limerick were relegated to the First Division for next season following a playoff defeat at the hands of Donegal's Finn Harps. An investigation is to be launched following an attack on a Donegal referee at the weekend. Daniel Sweeney suffered serious facial injuries following an alleged attack after the Mullingar Town versus Horsleap game in County Offaly on Sunday. Sweeney was transferred to St James's Hospital in Dublin today and will have surgery later in the week on injuries to the jaw, cheekbone and nose. Sweeney, who's been refereeing in the Midlands area for the past 8 years, is expected to spend 2 weeks in hospital. Gardaí are investigating the incident, which also involved players and a supporter, while the FAI are looking into what they will do next with the situation. Shane Long and Derek Williams have been ruled out of the Republic of Ireland's upcoming international friendly against Northern Ireland in next week's Nations Cup game in Denmark. The Southampton striker has an ankle injury. Blackburn defender Williams has suffered a hamstring injury. Manager Martin O'Neill confirmed a slimmed down squad this morning. Donegal's Ronan Curtis has retained his place, as has new call-ups Kevin Kelleher and Michael Obafemi. The regulars of Coleman, Duffy and McLean are also there. Meanwhile, teenage defender Bobby Burns has been called into the Northern Ireland squad for the first time ahead of that trip to Dublin. The 19-year-old Belfast native is currently on loan at Livingston and impressed in the weekend's Scottish Premiership draw with Celtic. On the rugby front, Conor Murray has definitely been ruled out of Saturday's test with the All Blacks. The Munster scrum half is yet to play this season due to a neck injury, but had been involved with the Ireland squad prior to the test with Italy in Chicago. All Blacks head coach Steve Hansen claimed last week he expected Murray would start against his side at the Aviva. However, the IRFU say Murray is accelerating through his recovery, but will not play any part of the remaining tests with New Zealand and the USA. Meanwhile, Robbie Henshaw has also been ruled ruled out of those remaining games, having picked up a hamstring injury during Saturday's win over Argentina. Ulster have signed Lock-Ian Nangle on loan from Leinster. The 30-year-old has made just one appearance for Leinster this season in September's Pro 14 loss away to the Scarlets. Ulster's pack have been depleted in recent weeks with the retirements of Jan Dezel, Chris Henry and Peter Brown coming in quick succession. And finally, in golf, Gavin Moynihan is well placed for the final stage of the European Tour qualifying school, which has reached the halfway point. The Dubliner is 10 under par following the first three rounds of a marathon six-round week. Moynihan has a share of 19th place with the top 70-plus ties to make the cut after tomorrow's fourth round. We'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to news, it's hoped a new turnkey development in Stranorder will aid in easing the local housing waiting list. 21 new council houses in Glen na Grian have officially been let to tenants today. Cathaoirleach of the Stranorder Municipal District, Councillor Patrick McGowan, says with this development, the first of its kind in the area, he's hoping that similar projects will be undertaken in the future.
Absolutely delighted for those who are getting it, but obviously there's quite a few more people in the area that will be waiting on council houses and that. And I think the best way to house people is within council houses themselves rather than tap or let or anything else, because it's the one way that the people are secure long term in their houses.
Weather now, cool, bright and showery today with occasional sunny breaks. Some of the showers will be heavy and thundery with a risk of hail and highest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, Integration Minister David Stanton says there won't be any public consultation meetings on the designation of the Cashel Mara Hotel in Moville as a direct provision centre. Up to 100 asylum seekers are set to begin arriving at the centre in the coming weeks, but Minister Stanton says previous public meetings in other areas didn't add anything to the equation. The Criminal Assets Bureau has confirmed they are actively seeking to identify and seize proceeds of crime in Donegal. It follows a briefing last month from Cabot, which senior officers confirmed they are pursuing a number of lines of inquiry in the county, including possible links with major crime gangs in Dublin. Meanwhile, Gardaí and Donegal are warning of increased patrols on the roads in the coming weeks, with three arrests over the weekend for drink driving. On today's 9 till noon show, Inspector Michael Harrison said a worrying development is the fact that there were 37 arrests for drink driving in October compared to 36 the previous year. And a Donegal woman has sued a couple who were formerly her best friends, claiming a sum of €280,000 given to them was a loan rather than a gift. The High Court has heard that 59-year-old Fildelma Carrigan of Ben Ildis Avenue, Ballyshannon, received €750,000 in 2010 over serious personal injuries she suffered in a road crash in 2002. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 12th of November. The death has occurred of Josie Gallagher, Mina Lig Clohan, formerly of Riverdale House, Ballandrate, and Drumleen, Ballandrate. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening, with funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has occurred of Ellen Kennedy, née Campbell, the Diamond Dunlow, formerly of Rampart, Burton Port. Her remains will repose at Midlin's funeral home from 6 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 9 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow from 3:30 with removal at 6:30 to St. Columbus Church Acres, arriving at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Belcrich Cemetery. The death has taken place of Una McGinty, Drim, Cumeen, Clohan. Her remains will leave her home on Wednesday morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Glenfinn. Burial afterwards in Kiltivog Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Clohan Day Centre, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Ellen Longwell, née Lynch, 47, St Mary's Crescent, Barhead, Paisley, formerly of Ahawil, Linsford, Buncrana. Her remains will be welcomed into St John the Evangelist Church, Barhead, tomorrow evening at 6:15. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 9:30, with burial afterwards in St Cunville's Cemetery, Barhead. The death has taken place of Sarah Robinson, Gary Harry Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service in the family home at 2:00 tomorrow afternoon, followed by burial in Gortley Cemetery. House private, please, at the request of the deceased. Neighbours and friends welcome. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Robert McMonagall, Colin Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 2:00, to Hillhead Presbyterian Church, Carndonagh, for funeral service at 3:15. Burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Bridie Hirrell, Giblin, Rashini Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for 11:00 Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ardeven Alzheimer's Unit, Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of Comiskey Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11:00 tonight. And the death has taken place of Bella Kelly, 14 Gaddy Duff, Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:20 to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 1:00. Interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Gillespie Funeral Directors.